Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power op deze bijzondere zondagmorgen, want het is vandaag Vaderdag. Iedereen van harte welkom en ik hoop dat vanmiddag ook tegen velen van u te mogen zeggen in de Pieterskerk in Leiden, die prachtige oude kerk in het centrum van de stad, waar we om 2:30 samen gaan zingen. Prachtige liederen tot eer van God, liederen die ook in de christelijke titel worden gezongen. En vandaar dat Don Nieuwe aanwezig is, die op vakantie in Europa. En het kwam toevallig zo uit en hij zal ons vanmiddag leren om nog beter te zingen. En verder werkt Melissa mee, u weet het wel, die beroemde trompetiste, die jonge trompetiste die al een aantal keren bij Hour of Power te gast is geweest en in de Christelijke Kathedraal gaat optreden. En een groot nationaal koor en natuurlijk u, want samen zingen dat verbindt en dat zoeken we ook graag. We willen u graag als kijker ontmoeten. Dus als u kunt en als jij kunt, tot vanmiddag in de Pieterskerk in Leiden. En nu naar het programma van vanmorgen. Fantastisch, want in de Christelijke Cathedral is een interview met de vrouw die de serie Touched by an Angel schreef. Een hele bekende televisieserie. Ze vertelt over haar huwelijk. En dan Jim Penne, die spreekt over het wonder van geloven. Veel muziek in de Christelijke Cathedral en bij Hour of Power Nederland te gast Johan Smorenburg. Zendeling die al 30 jaar in Haiti werkt en die natuurlijk ook die vreselijke ramp waar zoveel mensen bij omkwamen, zoveel kinderen ook, heeft meegemaakt. Maar niet bij de pakken neer is gaan zitten en in zijn kinderdorp met hulp van Hart voor Kinderen en Hour of Power bezig is om nieuwe appartementen te bouwen om al die weeskinderen op te vangen. Daarover gaat hij zo meteen vertellen. Ik ben er helemaal enthousiast over, want die actie is dankzij u gelukt. En de eerste spa is al in de grond gezet, dus dat betekent dat we volop bezig zijn in Haiti. Nou, heel veel nieuws en heel veel te horen en te zien in Hour of Power. Ik hoop dat u en jij zult genieten.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral.
Feel it here. Strength coming in through positive feelings and emotions. This is the place. The presence of a peace. Where does it come from? It is God. So, turn around, shake hands with somebody, give them a welcome, saying, God loves you, so do I. This is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
You know, the Psalms tell us that if we don't praise Him, the rocks will cry out. I invite you this morning to raise your praise to our champion, to God, sing with us. God of wonders beyond our galaxy.
Hear the scripture. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines for me have fallen in pleasant places. Surely I have received a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord, with Him at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures always at my right hand. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. This is the word of the Lord.
The sound of his voice, the mountains were. Thank you, John Tabay, director of our Fullerton College Choir. I'm so encouraged to hear wonderful, excellent music like that coming from our young people. So the future is in good hands. Never doubt it. Well, one of the perks of being in this position is you get to meet some beautiful, wonderful people. And I couldn't wait till this morning when I had the opportunity to meet Martha Williamson. Along with you, I was a tremendous fan of that television show, Touched by an Angel. Any of you see that? Any of you see Touched by an Angel? Yeah. Well, Martha Williamson is the executive producer and the lead writer for that show. So please welcome with me Martha Williamson. Martha. Hello, everybody. 25 years in Hollywood, and to be successful in Hollywood is amazing in and of itself.
It's not an easy industry. No. It is a very difficult industry. It's very demanding, and not the least of which is sometimes you're asked to really compromise, make some big compromises in character decisions that one might make. So being a Christian, you can imagine how much more difficult it is. But I found that the folks who were Christians who wanted to rush into Hollywood and make Christian television were having trouble in finding mm-hmm. resistance, predictably. Mm-hmm. But if you start trusting the Lord and having Him work with you and just try to be the best writer that you can be or the best producer or just do your best work, yeah. and then when the opportunity comes, then you can bring your Christian perspective to it, which is exactly what happened when CBS said, we want you to do an angel show. And I said, oh, am I ready?
And what a gift Touched by an Angel has been, and people need Thank to know you. You can still find it on some stations, and they mm-hmm. the DVDs, I think I saw them
that's
for sale
right
somewhere.
The DVDs are, oh, you can get them on the touchofencouragement.com as well, but the DVDs are out. We have Hallmark is showing the show in repeats. It just, the most exciting thing to me, Sheila, is that all these children who didn't see Touched by an
right.
Angel before, they were
True.
Just a little too young,
yeah.
are now discovering it. And to turn on the TV and once again be just hear those words, God loves you, can bring so many people that one step towards making a decision for the Lord.
Well, you are, no question are you talented and a talented writer. I loved reading your book, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But tell us why, because you were really successful professionally with Touched by an Angel, but in your heart of hearts you felt incomplete. Would that be fair to say?
Well, I did want to be married.
Yeah.
And I waited a long time. My career actually happened first, and mm-hmm. I got so busy mm-hmm. that I wasn't out there really able to look for a husband. And, of course, that's when God laughs, because you say, well, I guess you didn't want me to get married. And then two years later, I'm married.
That's right.
But he brought a wonderful man into my life. I met him through the show, mm-hmm. named John Anderson. And we were planning our wedding. And I started looking for those books. As soon as you get the ring, you know, and the That's guy right. says, will you marry me? And you want to run out. You want two things. You want that wedding dress.
Yeah.
And then you want to find the book that tells you how to plan your wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I found those checklists, the ones about, you know, how to write the invitations and go send out find the minister, find the place, you know, pick out your flowers. But I couldn't find the book that said how to prepare your heart, how to get ready for this wedding. Because so many people, I saw somebody the other day who said that she was hosting a wedding in her home for a young woman. And this young girl said, well, just remember, this is really a party where there's a wedding.
Wow.
She saw it as her prom that
right,
she never got to
right,
go to.
Right.
It was a big party, and there was just going to be a wedding there.
Yeah.
And I think the tragedy now is that people forget that this is a sacred ceremony that mm-hmm. where a miracle takes place.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord is putting two people and making them one.
Yeah, and as you said, the two people with a past become one with
a future. Oh, did I write that?
You
I
did.
Forgot about
you
that
did.
Part.
I loved
yeah,
it.
I love that. Two people with a past become one with a future, and God is in that future. He's already there.
Yeah.
And the privilege of walking down that aisle and meeting the man that God has chosen for you and having him create something wonderful there is too good to pass up. You know, and not just don't, if you spend all your time figuring out what your entree is going to be at the reception, you're missing the best part.
Well, and of course, yes, absolutely. And you could plan everything to the ninth nth degree, have the perfect wedding planner if you want to, and then everything
goes
right
wrong.
Here, yeah, because your wedding went picture perfect, didn't it?
We had it on paper, picture perfect. You know, when two television producers get married, they have it all planned right down. We had a big script, and then everything went wrong. It rained like cats and dogs. It rained so hard that it washed the bridge out to our little honeymoon cottage. It rained so hard that there was a waterfall coming down on the altar the morning of the wedding. All the gifts that I had gotten for all the bridesmaids had accidentally been given to another wedding.
Wow. And don't forget the fugitive.
And then there was the fugitive that we had the sheriff in the local city there had chased a fugitive off the freeway right up into the canyon, and they dead ended right at our wedding tent.
Yeah.
So he jumped out. He had guns. We had cops and dogs and helicopters. Everything went wrong at our wedding, except that we had invited God. See, that's the name of the book,
yes.
Inviting God to Your Wedding. We had invited God to our wedding long ago. So we just stopped and started praying for this poor fellow, because he was clearly having a worse day even than I was. And our hearts were in the right place. We knew it was the right thing to do. And everybody has a wedding story, but we had quite a few, so we thought we got to write a book about this.
That's wonderful. You've been married now how long?
12 glorious years.
And do you have children?
Yes, we have two darling little girls, wonderful children. And it has been one of those wonderful journeys that you realize that some folks get married and some folks don't get married, but in one form or another, the Lord is finding a way to bring you closer to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the blessing of a good marriage that God has brought together and created, mm-hmm. you know, if the mm-hmm. Lord built that house, then you have something strong to stand on,
yeah.
And in the tough days, he'll hold you together, and in the glorious days, you can rejoice together, and He's always using that to bring you closer to Him.
And what a wonderful, wonderful privilege that is. And so I want to thank you. It's
thank
a wonderful
you so
book,
much.
Martha.
It was a joy to write, and it was a joy to share with you. Thank you all very much.
But you have, what do you have anything else that we can look forward to, like Touched by an Angel or something else? Something?
Well, please keep us in your prayers. We're working on a new television series. We hope that the Lord will bring it all the way to fruition and bring it on the air. We're working on a film based on that wonderful song by Randy Travis, who was actually a great mm-hmm. a guest here, mm-hmm. Called Three Wooden Crosses.
Mm.
And then, of course, I do my little videos twice a week,
yeah.
And I have a lot of fun doing
wonderful.
That. So.
Lord Jesus.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for Martha. Thank you that you have gifted her. And she said yes. And she says yes every day. And she opens her heart and her mind and her soul to you and says, Lord, use me. I am just a tool. But the master craftsman, the master writer, the master producer, he works through Martha. Thank you, Lord. Open doors for her because, oh, how we need her. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Martha. You. God bless you.
Thank you.
Now we have Britt Nicole singing from her CD, The Lost Get Found. Please welcome Britt Nicole. Faith is
don't wait, and don't you turn around and miss out on everything that you were made for. Oh, I know you're not sure, so you play it safe. You try to run away, but when you take that first step into the unknown, how many of you know that God will never let you go? So what are you waiting for? What do you have to lose? Your insecurities, they try to hold to you, but you're made for more. So don't be afraid to move. Your faith is all it takes, and you can walk on the water to step out, even when it's storming. Step out, even when you're broken. Step out, even when your heart is telling you, it's telling you to give up. Step out when your hope is stolen. You can't see where you're going. You don't have to be afraid.
En dat was Britt Nicole, Walk on Water, wandelen op het water. Dat was wat Jezus vroeg aan Petrus en wat hij zelf ook deed. En dat betekent een enorm geloof. En als je een groot geloof hebt, dan kun je dingen doen die eigenlijk een beetje bovenmenselijk zijn. En een van mijn helden is Johan Smorenburg. Johan is zendeling, al ruim 30 jaar in Haiti. En hij heeft die ramp meegemaakt. En voor deze man, die we helemaal vertrouwen en waarvan we weten dat elke cent op zijn plaats komt, daarvoor hebben wij actie gevoerd met Hart voor Kinderen en Hour of Power. En hij is hier op bezoek in Nederland. Johan, laat eens naar wat beelden kijken van Haiti. Want misschien is het alweer weggezakt na al die ongelukken die we daarna hadden. Vliegtuigrampen, noem maar op. Maar dit was de grootste ramp.
Ooit.
Ja.
Ja,
wat is nu uiteindelijk het dodental?
Nou, die ligt tussen de 250.000 en 300.000 mensen.
En gewonden?
300.000. Het is ongelooflijk. Je kon 20 minuten met de auto rijden en dan reed je alleen maar langs stapels lijken. Dus het is echt absoluut ongelooflijk geweest. En Haiti is hierdoor ook zwaar gewond, moet ik zeggen. Het was natuurlijk al een heel arm land. Maar ja, er zijn mensen geweest die hebben mij geschreven en zeiden van, nou, misschien is dit wel een nieuw begin voor Haiti. Maar persoonlijk denk ik dat het heel moeilijk gaat worden voor de nabije toekomst.
Als jonge man kreeg jij de roeping om als zendeling naar Latijns-Amerika te gaan. Waar ben je begonnen?
Op het eiland Martinique. Dat is een Frans eiland in de Antillen, dus zeg maar Midden-Amerika, Zuid-Amerika. En daar heb ik 10 jaar gewerkt. Maar na 8 jaar zijn we beginnen te bidden voor een ander land, omdat Martinique, ja, daar hadden we mensen opgeleid, die konden hetzelfde werk doen als ik deed. En toen kreeg ik een brief uit Haiti met de vraag van, kom over en help ons. Toen ben ik daar een keer naartoe gegaan. Ik zou er 14 dagen blijven. Na een week ben ik ziek teruggekomen. En toen zei ik dus ook tegen mijn gezin van, we moeten wat doen voor dat land, maar werken nooit van mijn leven. En 1,5 jaar later zijn we daar naartoe gegaan. En dat is ongeveer 28 jaar geleden.
Als God je roept? Kun je geen nee zeggen?
Ja, ik had misschien moeten zeggen van geweldig land, hier moeten we zijn. Misschien dat hij me dan ergens anders naartoe gestuurd had. Maar ik heb er nooit geen spijt van gehad. We hebben er veel meegemaakt, maar nooit geen spijt gehad.
Dan ga ik jou even typeren, want je hebt een ongelofelijke ramp meegemaakt. Maar je bent gezegend met een optimistisch, vrolijk karakter. Wat drijf je nou? Wat is nou je diepste motivatie?
Ik heb me altijd vastgehouden aan één ding en dat is mijn roeping. Ik weet zeker dat ik een roeping had voor de zending. Vanaf het moment dat ik me bekeerde. En dat is gebeurd toen ik 20 jaar was. Van huis uit ben ik katholiek. En ik kwam in aanraking met een evangelische groep. En heb me bekeerd, echt van de ene dag op de andere dag. En daarmee is mijn hele leven veranderd.
Nou, zendeling, dat is een beetje een belast begrip. Want daar denken mensen bij dat je met een Bijbel zwaaiend door de straten loopt. En dat is het. Maar zendeling of en missionarissen zijn mensen die zich inzetten vanuit de bewogenheid van het evangelie om mensen oprecht te helpen.
Ja.
Niet alleen met het woord, maar juist ook met de daad.
Absoluut. In zo'n land kun je niets anders. Je kunt niet alleen maar het woord preken en zeggen de Heer zegen u en zoek het maar uit. Maar je wordt geconfronteerd met zoveel nood. Onder andere dus een weeshuisje wat ik bezocht, waar 50 kinderen in hun eigen vuil lagen in een soort varkenshok.
Gaat er dan door je heen?
Ja, hier moet iets aan gebeuren. Wat wist ik nog niet? Ik woonde nog op Martinique. Maar toen we dus terugkwamen, één ding toen ik terugkwam, wist ik van we moeten wat doen voor kinderen. En dat is uitgegroeid tot veel meer uiteraard.
Ja, een groot kinderdorp.
We hebben een kinderdorp gebouwd. We wilden niet, ik wist niets van SOS Kinderdorp af. Maar ik wilde dus niet een groot gebouw met twee slaapzalen voor meisjes en jongens. We wilden echt iets persoonlijks doen. En dat waren dus appartementen waar 12 kinderen worden grootgebracht door een Haïtiaanse moeder.
En daar heb je zo'n prachtig werk opgebouwd. Jaren aan geploeterd en gezocht. En er komt ineens die fatale aardbeving.
Ja.
En wat denk je op zo'n moment? God, waarom laat u dit toe? Of?
Nee, nou, zeker niet op dat moment. Want we waren blij dat we buiten waren. Dan kom je buiten, dan hoor je één groot gegil, geschreeuw, invallende muren. Het was één grote paniek met allemaal stofwolken. Dat was een absolute verschrikking dus. Dus het eerste wat je denkt van, zijn de mensen veilig? Dus ik ben gelijk naar de kinderappartementen gelopen en daar nog de kinderen uitgehaald. Maar toen was de aardbeving al gestopt. Maar onze school was ingestort en daar lagen 35 jonge vrouwen zaten daarin. Er zijn er 7 gewond, vrij zwaar gewond uitgehaald. Maar iedereen is eruit gekomen, ook op het kinderdorp. We hebben niet één dode te betreuren op ons project. En dat vond ik een wonder.
Wij zijn als Out of Power en Hart voor Kinderen direct naar de ramp in actie gekomen. Hebben onze kijkers gevraagd om te helpen, omdat we wisten dat dit een prachtig project was. Er is fantastisch gedoneerd. En de eerste spaar voor het project is al in de grond gezet.
Ja, dankzij jullie.
Ja.
Want dit is ongelooflijk. En kijk, instappen in zo'n situatie waarin er zoveel weeskinderen zijn bijgekomen, is natuurlijk een geweldig iets. Ja. En we hebben daar de ruimte voor. Dus dat houdt in dat er zo'n 50 kinderen bij gaan krijgen. En dat worden waarschijnlijk allemaal weeskinderen. Want er zijn ongelooflijk veel weeskinderen. Ouders waren binnen en de huizen storten in. Dus heel veel zijn hun hele familie kwijt.
Want die kinderen speelden op straat?
Ja, die waren buiten. En, en zo zijn er dus vele duizenden kinderen zijn dus wees geworden. Ja. En kijk, dan lijkt 50 weinig. Maar het is een enorm aantal. En ik weet zeker dat we nog meer gaan doen dan dat.
Ja. En Joods spreekwoord zegt, en ik blijf dat zo'n mooie uitspraak vinden, wie één mensenleven heeft gered, heeft de mensheid gered. Een hele diepe. Jij hebt honderden, duizenden kinderen, mensen gered door de jaren heen. Dat is veel.
Ja, mensen proberen je altijd te ontmoedigen. Hè? Je krijgt bezoek en zegt van ja, al die mensen waar je nou, of kinderen die je niet kan helpen.
Ja.
Hè, dan heb je dus een 150 kinderen al lopen buiten de scholen. Ja. Waar zo'n 1000 kinderen les krijgen. Je helpt ze met alles. Ja. En dan die je nou niet kan helpen. Dus dan kijkt die man aan als een Nederlander en ik zeg, nou, die kan ik dus niet helpen.
Nee.
Ik zeg, maar ik doe wat ik kan.
Ja.
Ik zeg, en als we dat allemaal doen, dan komen we beslist een stukje verder.
Ja.
En daarmee legde ik er wel het zwijgen op.
Ja. Ja.
Want het is niet weinig. Het is net wat je zegt. Jezus spreekt erover als je iemand een glas water geeft. Dat je je loon al zult ontvangen. Dus ik denk dat het geweldig is om te doen wat we doen. Niet omdat we zelf zo geweldig zijn, maar omdat God je een roeping geeft. En hij ook omziet naar wezen en weduwen. En dat houdt in dat we dus al heel veel mensen hebben kunnen helpen.
Ik mag jou dames Hart voor Kinderen en Hour of Power deze cheque overhandigen. Je kende het bedrag al, maar hier staat het dan nog een keer zwart op wit.
Wauw, ja.
Dat is een hoop geld, hè?
Het is ongelooflijk veel.
Ja.
Maar wat we ermee gaan doen, wordt iets geweldigs.
Ja.
En ik wil je er heel hard...
Nou, bedank mij niet. De kijkers die hun...
Nou, dan wil ik inderdaad alle kijkers die gereageerd hebben... heel hartelijk bedanken. En ik kan jullie verzekeren, en jullie zullen hier dus ook kennis van gaan nemen... ook als we gaan bouwen, we zullen het nieuws blijven geven... en we zullen dit geld voor 100% gebruiken voor het doel waarvoor het gegeven is. Dat garandeer ik.
Ja. Johan, bedankt dat je hier vanmorgen aanwezig wilde zijn op deze vroege zondagmorgen. Vanuit de grond van mijn hart, ik heb grote bewondering voor je... En ik weet dat je daar niet om vraagt, maar fantastisch wat je gedaan hebt. Je hebt doorzettingsvermogen, je bent visionair, je hebt een groot geloof en je bent er altijd om mensen te helpen. En voor mij ben je een van die helden van dat christendom. En neem dat mee en ik denk dat ik ook namens onze kijkers spreek.
Dank je wel.
Heel veel zegen als je weer terug gaat naar Haiti en het werk weer voort gaat zetten.
Ja, hartelijk dank.
Kracht voor elke dag. Dat zul je zeker nodig hebben. Het is een Bijbels dagboek. Dat hebben we aan al onze donateurs als cadeau gestuurd. Kijk eens, prachtige foto's van Ken Duncan, de hoffotograaf van de Crystal Cathedral.
Oh, okay.
En daar allerlei Bijbelteksten en korte overdenking bij.
Heel mooi.
Het leven zit vol tegenstellingen. Nou
dat is waar.
Dan
sla je zomaar op.
Ja, precies.
Oké, okay. Heel hartelijk bedankt. En tot de volgende keer.
Veel zegen toegewenst met wat je doet. En wat ik al zei, wat ik van jou vind... jij bent een van die mensen die ergens in een afgelegen, moeilijk gebied... want Haiti is geen vakantieland, integendeel... ononderbroken werkt om mensen te helpen. En daarvoor ben je voor mij een van de helden van het christendom.
Dank je wel.
Ga door.
Ja, dat doen we zeker.
En wij hebben, ik heb net het cadeau overhandigd... ook een oproep aan u. Hour of Power, elke week... te zien dankzij onze donateurs. We kunnen ook helpen. U heeft het net gezien, die cheque van 250.000 dankzij u. En daarom hebben we uw steun nodig. En we doen vrijmoedig een beroep op u.
Hour of Power kan alleen dankzij de hulp van trouwe donateurs... de wekelijkse uitzendingen voor u verzorgen. Hour of Power zoekt 500 nieuwe partners... die samen met dominee Schuller de boodschap van geloof... hoop en liefde willen brengen. Wilt u ook een partner van ons zijn? Word dan nu donateur en ontvang gratis het zojuist verschenen Bijbels dagboek Kracht voor elke dag. Misschien wel het meest mooie en inspirerende dagboek in de geschiedenis van Hour of Power. Elke dag een prachtige foto van Ken Duncan met een Bijbelvers en een korte boodschap. Speciaal geselecteerd uit de boeken en preken van de familie Schuller. Bij elkaar bedoeld om u te helpen kracht te putten uit Gods woord. Gods kracht is er voor u, elke dag. Meld u aan als donateur en bel ons nu 035 538 0588 of kijk op onze website www.hourofpower.nl. Als u nu donateur wordt, dan sturen wij u als welkomstgeschenk het prachtige Bijbelsdagboek Kracht voor elke dag. Alvast hartelijk dank voor uw steun.
En zoals gezegd, u krijgt dat prachtige boek van Ken Duncan. Nog eenmaal, vanmiddag dat concert in de Pieterskerk in Leiden. Er zijn nog plaatsen, er kunnen vele mensen de kerk donnoemen. Daarom ziet u hem nu niet in de Crystal Cathedral, maar komt er zo meteen een gastkoor. Hoopt ons te helpen om te zingen. En kortom, het wordt een fantastische middag om 2:30 Pieterskerk in Leiden. En wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral, waar het Fullerton College Choir een prachtig lied gaat zingen. Praise His Holy Name.
everyone, and there's a cross for me.
Good morning. And as Bishop Omer would say, good morning, everyone else. I don't want you to leave church today without really soaking in that song you just heard. And all God's people said, wow. All God's people said,
wow.
Now, you know what wow stands for? Walk on water. So every time you say wow, remember that you're walking on water in faith. And, you know, I'm convinced, absolutely convinced, that somebody here walked in today and you don't feel like you can walk on water. You've been having too many difficulties, and I'll tell you right now that this is a message that you need to hear. The message I'm about to give you is a message you absolutely need to hear, because somebody in here came discouraged. Somebody came with a financial burden, you came with a health burden, you came with an emotional burden or a relationship burden. Somebody here, practically if we raised our hands, a lot of us would say, we came here with a burden today. Then this is a message you need to hear, because somebody came here with doubt overwhelming the seeds of faith. And if you came in that way, I have good news for you. Because the God we serve is a God who loves you. He is a God who cares for you. He is a God who sent His Son to die for you. He has called you His beloved. He has called you worthy. Soak that in. We don't serve a God of destruction. We serve a God of provision. We serve a God of healing. We don't serve a weak God. We serve a strong God, an awesome God. And He is the great I Am who made the heavens and the earth, and then He made you. He made the heavens and the earth, and then He made you. We serve a God of love. So I don't want you to leave this place filled with doubt. I want you to leave this place today filled with faith, filled with possibility-thinking faith that you can change your circumstances. A miracle-working faith, a mountain-moving faith, as Jesus called it. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to your mountain, move, and it will what? What will it do? One more time. And nothing will be impossible to you. Take that Bible verse with you. So I think right now you need to give God an applause for how awesome He is for your life and how much He loves you. Thank you. We're just getting warmed up. So I'm going to take just 2 minutes and I'm going to talk about the positive things that you do, the fruit, because you put this church service on TV. Because we get letters. We enjoy the Hour of Power program so much. Bless Dr. Schuller for his strength and wisdom to have this program. That's Laura from New York. I have been a faithful worshiper since the beginning. You have been my encouragement through divorce, through raising 2 successful daughters, and now 3 grandchildren. I love this. I'm growing old and better with you. That's from Mary, and she sent it via email. I was blessed with your message and praise to the Lord of how you communicated emotional, spiritual therapy to millions. Dr. Schuler, this is for an email from Michael. Dr. Schuler, thank you so much for changing my life. From Elke in Germany, the Hour of Power is of great importance in my life. I've experienced tough times and continue to face challenges. Again and again, I feel the power of God and see small and big miracles come through since I became a possibility thinker. People always wonder how it happens, and I explain that God gives me the strength through Our Power. That's from Germany. Now, I only read half of them that I brought here, but you need to give yourselves an applause now for putting this church service on television. Thank you very, very much. Now, I have to say, your gifts of support make it possible, and I'll look in a camera here somewhere. I'll look at this one and say, your gift at home makes this church service possible and makes letters like that possible. So thank you for your gifts to the church. Now we can start preaching. We're just getting started. My question today for you is, in the bulletin you saw the title, and the title of the message is, Your Miracle Begins Today. And somebody here would say, that's an audacious title. Can you guarantee that? And I can absolutely stand here this morning and say, I can guarantee your miracle begins today. The question is, would you recognize a miracle if you were standing right in the middle of it? If you were living in a miracle right now, would you recognize it? Now, somebody here would say, well, absolutely. If there's a miracle, it's obvious that I'm living in a miracle. Now, I'm not quite sure that's true. And I'm going to point that out by saying very early in the morning, there was a pastor in a small town. There was a horrific thunderstorm overnight, and he got woken up far before dawn, and he had had a revelation from God. And he shook his wife awake, and he said, honey, hurry before it's too late. We've got to go now. And he grabs his wife and gets her out of bed. They get dressed. They jump in the car, and pretty soon they're on the edge of town before the sun even comes up. And he's holding up a big sign. And the big sign says, the end is near, turn around now. That's his sign. The end is near, turn around now. Now, the first car to come by is Bernie. And Bernie's the local barfly, and he's been drinking all night. And he comes by in his car, and he sees that sign, and he sees the pastor, and he says, hey, Pastor Jake, leave me alone. I'm not turning around for you or your God. Bernie races on by, and around the next bend, the pastor and his wife hear the screeching of tires and a loud splash and crunching of metal. And the pastor's wife turns to her husband and says, do you think it would be better if we held up a sign that says the bridge is out instead? Instead of turn around now, the end is near, right? Bernie missed the miracle. God gave him one. He was living right there. He could have just slowed right on down and he would have been fine. He missed the miracle. How many of us miss miracles that are happening in our lives right now? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we are to live by faith and not by sight. Live by faith and not by sight. And sometimes to recognize miracles, we have to live by faith and not by sight. Now, what does that mean? To live by faith and not by sight, you have to learn the three T's of a powerful faith. The three T's of a powerful faith. And the first T is take your eyes off your circumstances. Take your eyes off your circumstances. If your eyes are fixed on your circumstances and not on God, you will never, ever see the miracles unfolding around you. All you will see are your circumstances. And the case in point, I love the story from Exodus. Exodus 14:22, the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their left and on their right. Right? You can all picture that image from Cecil B. DeMille's film, The Ten Commandments. Used to air every Easter time. We'd always see that movie on television. And you would say, we can look back, 3,000-4,000 years, and we can say, it's obvious that was a miracle, the seas parting and the people walking through. Okay, now forget Hollywood for a minute. Now stand there on the edge of the Red Sea, and you're in that situation. Here's what you see. You see the Egyptian army bearing down on you, and they want to kill every one of you because their firstborn child just got killed a few days earlier because of your God. What's in front of you is a canyon of water as high as the Oregon, maybe as high as the cathedral, and maybe higher. And you're staring at that. and your human brain is telling you, I'm going to die by swords, or I'm going to walk halfway across this sea and I'm going to drown because those walls of water are certainly not going to stay up for me. That's what you would say. And you know I'm right because you say that every day in your life when a miracle is happening around you. There's no way those walls of water are going to stay up. Now, if that isn't a big enough example, that was just one miracle in this story. Let's go back a little bit. The Egyptians were killing every Israelite, every Hebrew baby that came along because the Israelites were growing in numbers. The Egyptians were worried that they were going to be taken over because of the growth of this group. So Pharaoh orders the firstborn child to be killed of all the Hebrews. Moses is born. His mother puts him in a reed basket and sets him out on the Nile. Do you think that felt like a miracle to Moses' mother? Picture putting your child, your baby, 3 months old, in a basket, closing the lid, and letting the basket go adrift on the Nile River with every peril imaginable about to befall him. Would you picture that as a miracle? That certainly did not look like the first step in God saving an entire race. Did it? That's miracle number one. She didn't recognize it. Moses, when he grows up in the household of Pharaoh. That turned out to be a miracle. But he sees an Egyptian guard beating one of the slaves, and he kills that guard and ends up having to flee for his own life. How is this the start of a miracle that's going to liberate a nation? Moses is now gone, having to flee into the desert. God sends Moses back 40 years later, and he doesn't send him with the Marines from Camp Pendleton. He sends him back with a staff in his hand. So here's the Egyptian army all standing around, and the liberator comes in the form of Moses with a robe and a staff. Doesn't exactly look like a miracle, but the miracle was walking through the gates of the city. Nobody recognized it. Correct? Now what happens next? Moses says to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Pharaoh says, in Jim Penner's version, "You're nuts. Go away. In fact is, your slaves are lavery. I'm going to make them make bricks without straw." Fact is, they can go in the fields and gather their own straw. Their labor got worse. Does that sound like a miracle? They send a liberator and it gets worse. The situation gets worse and not better. Have you ever prayed for something and your situation gets worse and not better? That's happened to all of us. In fact is, Moses even said, in Exodus 5:22, Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord, why have you brought more trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Isn't that what we say? Just what Moses said. We don't recognize God's plan because our eyes are on our circumstances and not on God. We are not living by faith. We are walking by sight. Then the plagues start to come. Now, the Israelites, for the most part, are being spared, but this is what they're seeing. Locusts and gnats and hail and all of these plagues that are coming. And they're saying, this doesn't look like a miracle. And, you know, looking back from today, it looks like a miracle, but it didn't look like it back then. And then a night of terror. A night of terror as the angel of death descends. Now, God promised the Israelites that they would be spared, right? He promised them that. But you're in that home, and here's what you're hearing, screaming and wailing as your neighbor next door watches their son die, and you're staring at the crib at your son saying, "Is my baby going to be spared? God promised it to me." But you're hearing the emotional cries of people right outside your door. How much faith did it take to say, "I trust God with his promise," in the midst of that? They were living in the middle of a miracle. Think of the fear that they would have been going through and what faith it took to make it through that night. Then a miracle happens. God releases them. Pharaoh lets them all out. 600,000 men plus women and children, so probably 1.5 million. 2 million people doing what? Wandering out into a desert. No water out there. No food out there, completely having to take their eyes off their circumstances and relying on God. Then they get to the Red Sea, where we started this little part of the message, staring at those walls of water. They actually make it across. They get to the other side. The Egyptians are taken care of. God's taken care of the Egyptians. Now what? Now you have 1.5 to 2 million people wandering through the desert. And what does God do? He gives them manna every day. What do the people do? They complain every day because they're getting manna every day. No meat, no eggs, all the stuff that we like to eat. You know, if you have to eat manna every day, it starts to get old after a while. But they were living in the middle of a miracle, but they were complaining about it. Would you recognize a miracle in your life today, with something God is doing in your life today? Would you recognize it? You won't if your eyes are on your circumstances. Take your eyes off your circumstances. God didn't bring you here by accident today. You needed this message. You needed to be able to go out here with your faith bolstered and to bolster the faith of your neighbors. You need to be ministers in your own community. Take your eyes off your circumstances. Okay, what's the second T? Turn your circumstances over to God. Turn your circumstances over to God. And I love this Bible verse. I love this Bible verse from Matthew. Ask, Matthew 7:7-11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and those who seek find, and those who knock the door will be opened. Now here comes the practical part. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Now a lot of times this Bible verse is associated with our salvation, and absolutely right. It's a powerful Bible verse for our salvation. But this is practical. Jesus is talking about practical gifts here and now. When he talks about who of you, if your son asked for bread, would give him a stone, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to you? It's practical. You need to take your eyes off your circumstances and then turn your circumstances over to God. Jesus said it, ask. Humble yourself before the Lord. Ask for your needs. Give him praise, but ask for what you need. That's what you need to do. Ask and it will be given to you. Take your eyes off your circumstances. Turn your circumstances over to God. And then the third part is the toughest thing to do. Trust God with the results. Trusting God with the results is the most difficult thing that you will do. Because go back to the Exodus, book in Exodus. The people, they were grumbling. They were complaining. They had prayed to God to liberate them. He was in the process of doing it, but they weren't trusting God with the results. When you pray to God, are you willing to trust him with the results of your life? And he is worthy of that trust. I love the Bible verse from John 19:30. Jesus, three final words on the cross. It is finished. It is finished. That's the most powerful words that you can imagine. It is finished. What is finished? His Father's plan? Absolutely. His Father's will? Absolutely. But it is finished means your victory is complete. Your victory in Christ is complete. If you will take your eyes off your circumstances, turn them over to God, and trust him with the results. Because Jesus, on that cross, here's what he did. He signed a contract for your life. He signed a contract for your life. Now, you've all signed a contract, a car loan, a house loan, a credit card. You've signed a contract, but what does a contract take? It takes two signatures. Christ signed the contract with that cross. Are you willing to sign your name to that contract for it to go into force? That's the only way it's going to happen, is if you will trust God with the results of your life. Take your eyes off your circumstances, turn your circumstances over to God, and trust God with the results. If you do that, your miracle begins today. Your miracle begins today. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. How awesome it is to think that you created the heavens and the earth, yet you sent your son to die for us. Who are we that you would send your son to die for us? That's how much you love us. Father, today we are going to take our eyes off our circumstances. We're going to turn those circumstances over to you, and we're going to trust you. Maybe for the first time, somebody out there, maybe for the first time, is going to trust you with the results. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And may God give you peace forevermore. Amen.
Heel hartelijk dank voor het kijken naar Hour of Power. En goed nieuws geef je door. Dus ik zou zeggen, vertel ook uw vrienden en familie dat er elke zondagmorgen 2 uur lang een fantastisch programma is. Hour of Power. En wij nemen afscheid, maar niet voor lang. We hopen er volgende week weer te zijn. Of we zien elkaar vanmiddag in de Pieterskerk in Leiden. God loves you, and so do we, zeggen ze in de christelijke titel. En daarmee neem ik op deze Vaderdag ook van harte afscheid. Halleluja.